everyone. I call the July 31st, 2023 Township of Leary Board of Supervisors public hearing to order. This evening we are continuing our reconvened public hearing regarding conditional use application number 2022-06, plat 1359 as filed by Equitable Owner Linlow Governor Crossing LLC and Sheets, co-applicant regarding a master plans development for redevelopment of land generally located in the southwestern quadrant of the intersection of West Governor Road and Fishburne Road. So just a reminder for everyone who has been here that our meetings are recorded so that accurate minutes can be taken. When you are speaking, if you can please make sure that you tell our reporters your name, spell it if necessary, and speak into the microphone. As has been our practice for the last few meetings, we have the tables up in front that you can organize to make it most comfortable for you to present what you're presenting. And we ask that you take the microphone to wherever you're speaking so that everyone in the back can hear you. So with that, I call this meeting to order, and I'm going to turn it over to our solicitor, Mr. Nelson, for some announcements and some housekeeping before we get into the bulk of the meeting.
Just because we have a good number of people here, I just want to go over once again what the plan of attack is for tonight's meeting and then the regularly scheduled one in August. We're going to start with Ms. Means. With your case in chief, upon the conclusion of your testimony, I will then go back to the applicant to see if they have any rebuttal. If they do, they're up. If not, we will then go straight to public comment. Now, as far as
I'm a party and I'm going to testify tonight as well.
Oh, in addition?
Yes,
okay.
I told you that the last time.
Okay, yes, and I believe I talked to the other parties, and I believe all the other parties who are here all said that they wanted to just provide public comment and not actually provide testimony. So, okay, then we will go, before we get to the applicant rebuttal, we'll go to you, Mr. Winter. You can provide your own personal testimony.
Yes.
And then we will go to the applicant for rebuttal. Once that, if there is any, once that's over, we will then go to public comment. If we run out of time, because we will be ending as we have normally at 9 o'clock tonight, the public comment will continue to the August meeting. If we run out of public comment before we run out of time, we are still planning to continue the public comment to the August meeting. It's been a long series of hearings on this application with a lot of people showing up. We recognize it's summertime. There might be people who are missing this due to vacation. We already have a meeting scheduled in August for oral argument, which should not take 3 hours. Therefore, if there are people who could not make tonight's meeting and wish to present oral argument, we are gonna see it in August. Mr. Strong, we'd be fine keeping the record open until August to allow that to happen. Does that work for you?
Yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, excellent. So that's the plan. Last but not least, we just want to recognize we are missing our chair, Chris Bruzio. As has been done in the past, Mr. Bruzio will be looking at the transcript of tonight's hearing before deliberating on this matter. Likewise, the township special counsel, Scott McNair, could not make the meeting tonight. He also will be reviewing the transcript. That being said, Ms. Means, once you are all set up, you're on.
Good evening. I'm Annette Castle Means.
Yes. Yeah, are you going to testify yourself, or are you going to
yes.
have witnesses?
No, nope, I have no witnesses.
Okay,
I,
then
I
we
am
need,
the witness.
Excellent. We need you to be sworn in then.
Okay.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, to help you?
I do. I'm Annette Castle Means, and I am the managing member of A to Z Realty. Just a little bit of professional background. I have a Bachelor of Science in Landscape Architecture from Penn State University. I have a Master's of Business Administration in Real Estate and Urban Development from the American University. I was a licensed landscape architect, and I put the license in escrow when I received my real estate license. I work for Harristown Development Corporation as Director of Development Services for a long time. And now I've been a commercial real estate agent for over 23 years with High Associates. And so I just want to first give a little background on the history of these properties along Fishburn. 721 Fishburn was built in 1950, so it's 73 years old. It was built by Milton Hershey students. And I purchased it in September of 2013 from a Mrs. Gelbaugh. And initially, my interest in the property was for accessible housing. So when I called the township and talked to Chuck, he informed me that the property was zoned commercial and no residential uses were permitted. And I gave it some deep thought and moved forward with the purchase by taking out a second mortgage on my personal house. It took a few years to find and complete the improvements and fund the improvements. And the Millers started their daycare there in January 2017. It was really important that the finished product fits into the neighborhood. So we went through the land development plan process, had the parking approved, stormwater approved, and this is what the final product looks like. Tried to put more window, more face to the front of the street, and then after there's an addition that provides more square footage for their daycare at the back. The second property we purchased was 725 Fishburn from a Dr. Goldberg. This building is also 73 years old. It was built in 1950. And I purchased it in December of 2016. We improved the existing porch area. And again, we wanted the finished product to fit into the residential neighborhood and make the existing building more attractive. The Millers started their care for just babies in this building in May of 2017. And then the last, the last property we purchased was 739 Fishburn. It was built in 1952, so it's 71 years old. I purchased the property in April 2019 from Dr. and Mrs. Hamilton. And again, it's really important as a developer to create buildings that contribute to the neighborhood and the community, both architecturally as well as scale and use. So you're looking at the after product. And in the back, we gave a little nod to the one from the schoolhouse with the addition. Miller started holding classes there in May of 2019. Scott, can you hand out the zoning ordinance for me, please? So I'm going to talk about the zoning ordinance and its application to this project. So Scott's handing out the zoning ordinance, and I'm going to refer to Mr. Strong's letter from to the board members. There's three layers of zoning on this project, and he acknowledges it in his letter. It's Hershey Mixed Use Zoning District, the Southern Core Overlay 13, and the Central Master Plan Development Approval Area. So as I hand out the zoning ordinance, I'm handing out mostly the sections that are the foundation, foundational zoning ordinances. So let's start with the fact that the bottom foundation, the most important part, is that this chapter, the full zoning ordinance, is enacted by the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the municipalities planning board. Very important that all zoning ordinances comply. So as we go through the first layer on top of that foundation, it's the Hershey Mixed Use Zoning. And let's read it. HMU, Hershey Mixed Use. To retain the varying intensities of pedestrian-oriented businesses, residences, neighborhood forms, and regional attractions that complement and respect the township's traditional, historic, and cultural core. So this zoning ordinance was adopted in 2019, and the new zoning ordinances really works to try to lay down a foundation so that new development can have better direction into being shaped in a way that the community finds it desirable. In other words, they want to get rid of zoning that has a negative impact on the community and enact zoning that will encourage developers to have a positive impact on the community. So let's talk about the applicant's proposal. They have an apartment building that's approaching 1 million cubic feet. And when I asked the architect what building in this neighborhood was of similar size, the only building he could point to was the Carnes grocery store. I don't think that this description of what you want at Hershey Mixed Use is asking for a development full of Carnes-sized grocery store, Carnes grocery store-sized buildings in it. It clearly says that it wants to retain the varying intensities of pedestrian-oriented businesses and residences. So in my strong opinion, this, right off the top, they're not meeting this this part of the zoning ordinance. When I asked the Sheets representative if this was the same size sheet they put at interstate interchanges, he said yes. And so by the applicant's own admission, this is not a neighborhood-sized gas station and convenience store. It's a size they put along interstates. These two buildings do not meet the foundational requirements of the HMU zoning. The other two proposed buildings are of similar size and scale to the other buildings that they're proposing. The applicant received 5 variances from the Planning Commission. However, the applicant did not receive a variance that allows them to ignore the underlying foundation of the zoning district. The next layer is the southern core. And you can see here's the plan that says, of course, that it's the southern core. And so let's, if you read the first section, what it allows the applicant to do is to apply for conditional use. And the conditional uses on the page back, a list of the conditional uses they can apply for. However, that does not mean that these uses can disrespect the existing scale and architecture of the neighborhood. It merely allows that the use can be considered. The last layer is the central master plan approval area. Let's read the first sentence of that. Consistent with the PA Municipality's Planning Code, traditional neighborhood development provisions. During testimony, none of the members of the applicant's team were able to describe what a traditional neighborhood development was or what its objectives were. So let me go to the law. Scott, would you hand out the law, please? What is referenced here is the June 22nd, 2000 law that was passed by the General Assembly describing what they want out of traditional neighborhood development. If you go to number 9, it goes to the objectives. Then I'll just read some of them. To establish a community which is pedestrian-oriented, with a number of parks, a centrally located public common, square, plaza, park, or common intersection, to minimize traffic congestion and reduce the need for extensive road construction, to make public transit a viable alternative, to provide the elderly and young with independence of movement by locating most daily activities within walking distance, to foster the ability of citizens to come to know each other and watch over their mutual security by providing public spaces such as streets, parks, and squares, and mixed uses which foster the proximity to neighbors at almost all times, foster a sense of place and community by providing a setting that encourages the natural intermingling of everyday uses and activities, to integrate age and income groups, to encourage community-oriented initiatives, and to support balanced development. Can you hand out my last piece, please? Well, understanding that, first of all, Pennsylvania Department of Community and Economic Development administer the municipality's planning code. And they thought, well, let's go a little further and help people understand what a traditional neighborhood development is. What is a traditional neighborhood development? It's a planning tool designed to give new development, whether in greenfields or older existing neighborhoods, the positive attributes of traditional front porch communities in small towns. P&Ds have a compatible variety of residential and commercial development where homes, shops, offices, schools, and public buildings are within a short walk of each other. They incorporate tree and sidewalk-lined streets, traffic calming, close-to-home parks, and central public spaces that make the community an attractive and inviting place for residents. So you can read the rest of this. I'm not going to take up hours of it. But I'm just going to tell you that this is not a traditional neighborhood development that is proposed. And I contacted the Department of Community and Economic Development and asked them, can you just give me some examples in case it's not sinking in that this is a development that's supposed to be user-friendly? And they said one of the suggestions they made was Artona. So I'll just give you a quick few picks, and you'll start to get the gist of what a TND is. It's got shops. It's a place where you want to be. Here's their public square. There's residents around it. And you have alleys. So just flip through it real quick again. This is an example, at least, that the DCED is holding out as a good example. Now, I would say that I'm going to say one more thing, and that's about traffic. I know you've been hammered to death about traffic, but first of all, it's unfair to deprive existing businesses and property owners and residents access to Fishburne so that the applicant can get access to his development. This is a clear exchange of value, the value of his development in exchange for the value and function of existing small businesses and residents. And secondly, I want to say one more thing about traffic, and that is we heard previous testimony about the fact that Fishburne and Governor Road intersection is the third worst in Dauphin County. I believe that if this development is approved, you'll get to be number one. Yay, number one. You cannot tell this community that development of four major traffic generators will not cause more congestion on these roads. Sheets is not locating here because they don't expect to draw traffic. Sheets thrives on the right turn in, right turn out traffic. The apartments will generate traffic. The daycare will generate traffic. And the medical office building will generate traffic. Telling this community that we are to believe that experts over our intelligence regarding traffic reminds me of the Hans Christian Andersen fable, where the townspeople were told by the so-called experts that they were unfit or stupid if they didn't see it their way. And it's in this story, a simple observation of a child to declare that the emperor has no clothes. These traffic patterns only contribute to the existing problems and get this intersection to number one. And let me say that you won't have traffic problems if the zoning ordinance is actually followed and that this is actually becomes a traditional neighborhood in development instead of, this, as Sheets calls it, a typical suburban development.
Thank you. Mr. Strong, any cross-examination?
Just a couple questions. Good evening. Good, thank you. You mentioned, and I want to make sure I have these correct, I think the property is 721 Fishburne. You testified you purchased in 2013. Or ADZ Realty purchased in 2013?
Yeah. Yes.
And 725 Fishburne, that property was purchased in 2016?
Yes.
And then 739 Fishburne, that property was purchased in 2019?
Yes.
And that Seedlings Academy had opened and was operating at least in 2017 at both 721 and 725 Fishburne?
Yeah, that's correct. That's my records.
And I had asked Mr. Miller if when the prior application for development of this corner that was to include both the Sheets and a commercial building, if he had opposed that application, and he said that he had not. So I guess I would ask you the same question as the owner of those two properties. When that application was filed, and then ultimately approved in January of 2018. Had you opposed that application?
First of all, I'm going to say...
Hold on a second. Mr. Miller, do you have an objection?
I do have an objection. I was not asked if I opposed it. I was asked if I knew about the application, okay. And I said no.
The we can look at the record. We will look at the record. That's the case. That's the case. Mr. Strong, do you wish to reformulate your question?
And I have no objection to that. So I would just ask you for your testimony as the owner of those two properties when that application was approved. Had you taken a position on that application, appeared in opposition, attended hearings, or anything along those lines?
Are you talking about the sheets that was approved under the previous zoning ordinance?
Well, that's a question. It was approved under the previous zoning ordinance, but under the standards that are currently in effect in the current ordinance. So there's some nuance there, but yes, the application that was approved in January of 2018.
So before the 2019 ordinance was approved?
It was approved before, but under the standards that were in the draft ordinance that was ultimately approved in 2019.
I was not informed of the development.
That was just my question, was whether or not you had participated in that application. And the information that you provided tonight, the authority, provisions regarding the Southern Core overlay, the Central Master Plan overlay, the Hershey Mixed Use, the application is requesting approval of a master plan, and all of the specific requirements for a master plan are set forth in section 225-501.58, and I didn't hear any testimony regarding any of those specific requirements that cover pages and pages of the zoning ordinance. Is that your testimony is just limited to DCED and traditional neighborhood developments generally, and then these policy provisions in the zoning ordinance?
I'm not sure if I understand your question.
The specific requirements that an applicant has to demonstrate compliance with for a master plan are set forth in section 225-501.58.A of the zoning ordinance, and there are pages of requirements. The only pages that you've provided to us tonight relate to the authority that the township has to adopt the zoning ordinance, the Hershey mixed use description, the Southern Core overlay provisions, and then the general statement regarding the Central Master Plan. And so my only question to you is, I didn't hear any testimony regarding the specific requirements that are applicable to a master plan set forth in section 225-501.58.A. Is that correct?
I'm bringing up the fact that each of these overlay districts have a description that the applicant is required to meet, and they have not been met. So they have not met the consistent with the PA municipality's planning code traditional neighborhood development provisions. That has not been met. This is clearly not a TND.
The specific provisions that are applicable to a multifamily apartment dwelling in the zoning ordinance, you're not raising any issues with respect to those requirements,
I don't know those,
correct?
All the specifications. I just know that they haven't met this, so why bother going much further?
And you mentioned the size of the volume of the interior space of the multifamily dwellings that are proposed. Are you aware that the master plan allows a 25% increase in density for multifamily that's actually not being used for this application?
I don't know if that's relevant because they're still not consistent with the planning code, traditional neighborhood development provisions.
I guess, but my question was, are you aware that the density that's permitted under the ordinance is actually higher than it was proposed as part of this application?
Not aware.
And I didn't hear any testimony regarding the specific requirements that are applicable to a fuel service major that are set forth in section 225-501.19, is that correct?
Yes. of the specifics. I just know that it doesn't meet the underlying zoning description.
And the last question, I didn't hear any testimony regarding compliance with the specific requirements for a group child care facility in section 225-501.52 of the zoning ordinance. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I guess with respect to each of those uses that are proposed as part of the application, the fueling facility, the group child care facility, and the mixed-use building and the apartments that are proposed, the issues and the impacts that I hear you testifying about, primarily traffic, I think those are issues and impacts that you're saying because it's a fueling facility, it's going to have this impact. Because it's apartments, it's going to have this impact. Those are sort of general concerns about those types of uses on the property.
And what's your question?
I'm asking, with respect to the office, medical office building, or with respect to the group child care facility, the concerns that you have generally are traffic that's going to be generated by the project as a whole. I think that was your testimony tonight, was traffic.
One of the concerns, yes.
Okay. And those would be just generally for each of those uses, you have those general concerns.
I do.
Okay. Those are all the questions I have.
Thank you. Mr. Chris?
I have no questions.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Mr. Winter?
No questions.
Mr. Miller? Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Stain? Mr. Twyman? Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Thank you. Ms. Means, are you planning or would you like to introduce any of the exhibits you handed up? Have them marked and entered as exhibits in the record? Is it just these three sheets or also the photographs? Just these three sheets?
Those three packets.
Mr. Strong, any objections?
Maybe. Oh, sorry. I think there were two prior exhibits, I think, marked. Well, were those, I think they were SA1 and SA2, but I think Ms. Means had introduced those. I'm just wondering what these should be labeled,
yes,
and now we can refer to them correctly.
Give me 2 seconds. We have, the SA exhibits were, I think, introduced by Mr. Miller. We have, FSC, KinderCare.
So do we just want to call these M1, M2, and M3 for Means?
Yeah, I think that might be best.
Okay. So I think I have these in order. M1 would be the ordinance provisions.
Yes, starting Article 1, Authority and Purpose.
Okay. And M2 would be the
Article 7A from the MPC. And then M3 being the little booklet from the local government services.
So then the question is, do I have an objection?
Right.
I don't think that I do, although I think it's almost been a standing objection to some of these where I don't discern what the relevance is. So I guess I would object on the basis of relevance, but obviously M1 is pages from the zoning ordinance. The township to take judicial notice of those sections. M2, I don't know if this is from the latest version of the municipality's planning code, and we're not proposing traditional neighborhood development, so I think M3 I would object on the basis of relevance, but at the end of the day, it's not that big a deal.
Thank you.
I don't know if I'm holding on my own objection there, but
yes, I think we're as we've done in the past, we obviously recognize different exhibits have different weight and different relevancy. We're not going to exclude these based on the fact that they're completely irrelevant. But that doesn't mean we are not going to recognize what if they're minimally relevant in making this decision. So the three of them are admitted in this means. That being said, do you can we excuse?
No supervisors have any questions?
Oh, good God, Ms. Molly. Okay. Sorry, folks. Supervisors?
I do not
either. Mr. Winter, you're up next.
Good evening. My name is Mark Winter.
I think we need to have you sworn.
Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and the truth to help you
God? I do.
Thank you.
My name is Mark Winter, and my wife, Linda Ang, E-N-G, and I have lived in Derry Township since 1978. We currently reside at 23 Almond Drive in the Cocoa Towns development. We've been there for coming up on 2 years. And Cocoa Towns shares a boundary with the alley that runs parallel to Fishburne and parallel and east of Fishburne. So here is the Cocoa Towns development. The alley, as you see, runs parallel with part of Almond Drive in the Cocoa Towns development. My particular residence is just about the end on Almond right there. So I live within less than half a mile from the site in question. Literally, it's in my side yard. In addition to living in Derry Township for the last 45 years, I've also practiced law here for 45 years. And unlike the applicant and its witnesses, I live and I work here, and I've attended every meeting since October of last year, both as counsel for Ron Lumber and as a party. I've had the opportunity to hear the testimony, examine the exhibits, cross-examine witnesses, and now I'd like to offer my opinion regarding this application. And I would first again remind the board that your poll star in this case, I think, is Article 5. The specific criteria for conditional uses is contained in the Derry Township Zoning Ordinance, Section 225-501 sub K. And that sets forth three specific matters for the board to take into consideration. That the use being proposed will not adversely affect the health or safety of residents in the neighborhood. Secondly, that the use will not overburden existing public services, including public roads and storm drainage. And three, that the use will not be detrimental to the use or development of or change the essential character of the neighborhood. The board can also take into consideration the impact of, among other factors, noise and light that may derive from the project. And I would submit to the board that the applicant does not meet these criteria because they will adversely affect the health and safety of the residents, they will overburden the existing roadways and storm drainage, and they will be detrimental to the development of and will change the essential character of the neighborhood. During the course of presentation of the applicant's case, engineers have testified that four large buildings and 233 parking spaces can fit on the 7-plus-acre site in question in this general area here, basically bounded by Fishburn Road, away from Cherry Drive, and up here at 322 in this area here, and relocated Sand Hill Road, of course. By the way, all of the proposed new uses and services that the applicant wishes to place on its 7-acre site are uses and services that are already provided in numerous places in Derry Township, including two existing daycare centers, one at Seedlings and one over here next to Carnes at KinderCare. By the way, across the street, across 322, sits the 7-Eleven convenience store with APS lean pumps. But even if, in the purely technical sense, the site plan meets the zoning ordinance criteria, not the conditional use criteria, but the actual setback distances, impervious coverage, all those other issues, if it meets all of those, the site plan does not exist in a vacuum. And I think one way to look at this is to look at the words complicated and complex. The site plan is a complicated plan. It involves a lot of parts. It took a lot of work to get the pieces to fit together within the 7 acres. But an engineer could achieve that by following the ordinance, designing buildings, maybe making something larger or smaller, moving something within the 7-acre confine. That's a complicated matter, but you can reach a conclusion to it. The difference in the words complicated and complex is that complex doesn't solve easily. The matter that's handled by the complicated application on the 7 acres isn't confined within the 7 acres. It spills out into the community. And as it spills out into the community, you're beginning to deal with unknown factors. And that is the difference, in my opinion, between a complicated case and a complex case. The complex case can't be definitively dealt with algorithms, specific dimensions and boundaries. It involves other issues. It involves human nature. It involves situations that nobody anticipated. And that, I think, comes into play when we begin to look beyond the 7 acres, beyond the vacuum. Now, the traffic count indicated that along 322, 17,300 cars a day. By the way, that traffic count, I think, derives from 2022. I would assert that the number has gone up. And on Fishburn Road, 11,300 vehicles a day. And of course, we all know we don't always get the same number of cars traveling in the same number of hours every day. There's peak times, and we know because of the medical center and the schools what those peak times are. And anybody who has driven in this township, as I have, in the last 45 years, knows that you have a very, very complicated, congested intersection at the intersection of 322 and Fishburn Road. I don't need a traffic study to tell me that. I know that because I've sat in the traffic enough times. Just this past Friday, as I was coming up Governor Road, going in an easterly direction, planning to come back to turn into Glen Road to go to my residence, as I approached the intersection, the traffic light, I had a green light, but I couldn't go through the intersection because there were four cars lined up in front of me trying to make a left-hand turn onto Elm Avenue. They couldn't make a left-hand turn onto Elm Avenue because there was a steady line of traffic coming west, one lane, on Governor Road. And so until that Governor Road westbound traffic cleared, the four cars couldn't make their left-hand turn onto Elm Avenue. I couldn't move through the intersection because I had no place to to put my car if I'm going through the intersection, because again, it's not a two-lane wide road, it's a single lane. It's a wide single lane, but it's a single lane. And so I had to sit through a cycle of the traffic, let my green light turn red, waited until the four cars ahead of me were able to make their left-hand turn, and then on the next green light, I could go through. In the meantime, because I didn't go through, when I had the first opportunity at green, there was that much more traffic backed up behind me. And that's just one example. We've heard testimony, Ms. Means just mentioned a few moments ago, that again, we have one of the most congested intersections in a tri-county area. The solution is not to add more traffic. You are already dealing with roads that have been there. Fishburne Road has been there since probably the time that the building that Mary Beth Backenstos now owns was probably built over 200 years ago. I doubt that Fishburne Road has moved much in that time, and it certainly hasn't gotten any wider. When you drive on Fishburne Road today, there is barely any shoulder. If there's 18 inches of shoulder, I'd be surprised if it's that much. It's very dangerous if a pedestrian or a bicyclist would be traveling along Fishburne Road in this corridor. You'd probably have a death wish if you're doing that. Again, these are old roads that have been there since long before any of this development occurred around it. Fishburne Road is one lane in each direction. On the other side of 322, Hockersville Road, the continuation, is one lane in each direction. It's a narrow road. Governor Road is one lane in each direction, although the lanes are a little bit wider. And fortunately, at the intersection, you do have turn lanes. But again, you come back to human nature. When somebody's waiting for it to get a green light or a green arrow, they don't always immediately react. If they're just a couple seconds slow making the reaction, that's putting the car behind them as a couple seconds slow. The car behind them is now a couple seconds slow. So now instead of getting the three or four cars that were stacked up trying to make a left-hand turn to clear the intersection, maybe you've only cleared two or three. And so again, the problem is not to add more volume to a vessel that already can't contain it. Now, that's just talking about Fishburne Road. Let's take a look for a moment at the alley. And this is what begins the impact on where I live and the other residents of Cocoa Towns. It was interesting to finally find out that alley is a public road, a Derry Township road, yet the township does not maintain it. Dr. Kramer does the plowing. Why the township doesn't maintain it, I suppose, is another question for another day, but the township does not maintain it. It's a very narrow road. Today is Monday. Yesterday, I took a little field trip, and I drove up and down this alley three or four times. The entrance to this alley, I didn't get out and measure it. It can't be more than 9 or 10 feet wide. You cannot get two cars to go in and out of that alley together by one another. There are trees growing here that make it difficult to see anything coming, any car that would be coming out of the alley if you're trying to go in. As you proceed in a southerly direction down the alley, you're right up against the boundary line of the properties of Cocoa Towns, these homes here. You literally are within 15 or 20 feet of somebody's sun porch. The alley itself, as you're driving down this pathway, again, is no more than 12, maybe at the most 14 feet wide. Again, it is not wide enough to allow safe two-way vehicular traffic. And then when you get to the end, if you come all the way to the end, you run into a dead end right down here. But before you come into that, you'll see the red arrow that's on this exhibit showing a turn out. That's a driveway for the medical center building right here. That's private property. That's not a township road. So the connection from Fishburne to the alley in this location is not a public driveway. It's a private driveway. Excuse me just one second. There's been some discussion about the entrance to Ron's barbershop up here at 637 Fishburne Road. And in the proposed, at least under the traffic impact study, it was proposed that a median be built here right in front of Ron's barbershop. Depending upon what the width of the base of that median would be, I would suspect it would have to be at a very minimum 2 to 3 feet wide at the base to make it stable enough. And if you put a 2 to 3 foot wide concrete barrier in Fishburne Road, and the road's already very narrow, you basically eliminated any safe driving pathway for a vehicle going either north or south here on Fishburne Road. There's just not enough width if you're going to put something in the middle of the road. In order to, if you could even expand the alley here, you would have to take private property. Literally, you would be in somebody's, not only in their backyard, you'd be in the back room of their house. And you'd have to take land from the other landowners along the front on Fishburne Road. It's just not a practical solution to the problem. So I don't see how you could possibly use this alley as part of this land out of traffic to have a controlled traffic light here on relocated Sand Hill Road and have traffic go into that alley. That's just an invitation to disaster. So in conclusion, I would just submit that if you allow the development of the 7 acres as it's currently sought to be achieved, and you realize that, yes, there was a prior plan that was approved, I think in 2018, when Mr. Craig, I think, was the applicant, but that's not the plan that the current applicant is presenting. They're not presenting Mr. Craig's plan. Mr. Craig's plan, by the way, was submitted without a master plan because no master plan was required at that time. And Mr. Craig did not have a plan that called for a total of four large buildings on a site, and he did not call for 233 parking spaces. So I think to compare whatever Mr. Craig got some conditional approval for to this application is truly apples and oranges. One last concern that I have regarding the traffic is that if the Sheets is developed here, we heard extensive testimony about the delivery of fuel oil, gasoline, in 53-foot long tanker trucks that are going to have to come into this property on a regular basis, go right past a daycare center, discharge within 150 feet of 40 residential apartments. Gasoline is dangerous. Benzene is dangerous. You don't have to be a health expert to know that it's not good to breathe gasoline. There are signs at gasoline pumps that say, don't stand there and breathe this stuff. And so I would submit that the application does not meet the requirements contained in the zoning ordinance under 225.501K, in that it is going to create danger and adversely affect the health and safety of the residents in the neighborhood. It's going to overburden the roadway. It's going to overburden the stormwater management, which is already challenged in Derry Township, because most of the 7 acres is going to be impervious coverage. It's going to be macadam. And it's certainly going to hurt two existing businesses, two child care centers. Might even drive a road right through one child care center, and you're going to put a median up in front of Ron's barbershop that's going to prohibit anybody from making a left-hand turn in or out of his place of business. And so my question to the board is, do we sacrifice people that are already here, already conducting business, already living here, so that someone can come into town and build a big project at this intersection. I think that's really the issue that we're looking at. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Trump.
Thank you. Good evening, Mr. Winter.
Good evening, Mr. Strong.
I just wanted to ask you some questions clarifying Cocoa Towns and where it's situated and the alley and where you live relative to the project. Chuck, can you scroll? Are we on?
We're
or, what's that?
We're not on Google Earth.
No, but the exhibit is just hiding over the top. So we're looking at exhibit SA-5. And I think you mentioned that this is literally in your side yard.
Yes.
So when we're looking at exhibit SA-5, there are Almond Drive is the loop road.
Yes, it
for
is.
Cocoa Towns.
And right where I'm indicating with the red marker, it's just about where my house is.
Okay. And just let me ask some follow-up questions just for purposes of a record. So there are two means of entrance and exit from the public roads to Cocoa Towns. The first would be from Cocoa Avenue.
Yes,
that's Almond Drive.
Yes, so right here would be, that's sort of considered the main entrance. There's a nice brick entryway here. And so, yes, you can make a left or a right-hand turn out of Almond Drive onto Cocoa Avenue.
Okay. And then the second entrance would be from Governor Road on the north side of the community?
Yes, sir. And that road coming in is called Glen Road, GLPA.
Okay. And so if you were to turn into Cocoa Towns from 322 Governor Road and you come to the intersection with Almond Drive, that would be your residence just to the immediate left?
Yes. If you came down here, you would make a left-hand turn, and I'm about the third. It's a duplex.
Okay.
And I'm the western side of the duplex.
Okay, and so on exhibit SA-5, your residence is right above the word Almond.
About the end of Almond.
Okay.
Pretty close.
And the Cocoa Towns community does not have any means of ingress or egress from Fishburne Road, correct? Just from Cocoa Avenue and from Governor Road through 322?
Yes, sir.
And the alley that was mentioned, in fact, I think Mr. Miller had presented as exhibit SA-16 the deed of dedication from Village of Cocoa Towns Homeowners Association to the township dedicating that alley. But that alley, there's no means for ingress and egress from that alley into the Cocoa Towns community, correct?
That is correct.
So it runs adjacent to some of the dwellings in Cocoa Towns, but it does not connect in any way to the road network that services Cocoa Towns?
No, sir. But as you drive down the alley, you can see just how close the rear of these particular residents are. One of the gentlemen who's here tonight, Robert Smith, he lives at 101 home, and I think this is about where his property is. It's close to his property. These homes are literally 15 feet away from the alley.
And that's how they were built, I assume, right? Because
yes.
It was the Homeowners Association for Cocoa Towns that dedicated that alley?
Well, that's a long story. It goes all the way back to 1987, and basically, I'm going to give you the Reader's Digest condensed version of it. Basically, I think the document that you're looking at, and I had no part in that document, I didn't live in Cocoa Towns at the time, I think that's really more the equivalent of a quick claim deed. Long before Cocoa Towns ever came into existence in the late 1980s, about 1929, C.J. Hess, who owned Hess Ford here in Hershey. And he owned a large farm here, and he planned a development within here, within the Cocoa Towns area. And when he created the development, thinking back to the 1920s now, most building lots were 40 feet wide and 150 feet deep to an alley. And so on his original plan, which is actually recorded in the Dauphin County Court of Common Pleas, the Recorder of Deeds office, each of the properties that fronted along Fishburne Road and along Cocoa, and this is before any of these homes were built, referenced in their deed that the rear of your property went back 150 feet to an alley. So when the developer came along in the late 1980s and wanted to develop Cocoa Towns, they ran into a problem. Because you had people who had deeds along Fishburne Road and Cocoa Avenue and Governor Road that said, hey, the back of your property touches on an alley. Now, there was no alley. It was a paper alley. But basically, what had to be done was all of the residents along those three streets actually had to be sued to basically say, if you have any claim, make it now, or otherwise, there will be no claim, there will be no alley bill. And there was one resident along Governor Road who did not sign off, and so there's actually a little driveway right off the plan that goes back up to his property. It goes behind the house that's right on the corner of 322 and Glen Road, and you're probably very sorry that you asked me that question.
But I think, I guess, just to summarize, at the end of the day, Cocoa Towns does not have the access to the alley or to Fishburne. Their only access to a public road would be to either Cocoa Avenue or Governor Road, Route 322.
Yes, sir. Okay.
Those are all the questions I have.
Okay. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Mr. Chris?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
I have no question.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No question.
Mr. Miller?
No questions.
Ms. Means?
No questions.
Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Stang? Mr. Twiley? Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Supervisors?
And Mr. Winter? I have just one quick question. And talking about the alley and the homes in Cocoa Towns, the homes that you referenced that are along the alleyway, are those plots of land owned by the individual homeowners, or is it an HOA that owns up to the alleyway?
Oh, no, no. The individual homeowner owns the entire legal description of their plot.
So they are each of the individual homeowners, their land.
They own right to the
alley. Right to the alleyway.
Sure. Now, the HOA has maintained plantings. It's part of the HOA fee. So there are what you call shielding plantings that run along basically that dark green that you see right through there. So there are things like arborvita and other types of plants that make a natural buffer between the edge of the alleyway and the edge of the, but it's actually constructed on the homeowner's property.
Okay, that answers the question. Thank you.
Hope that wasn't too long an answer.
Anyone else? Okay, thank you very
thank
much.
You, thank you.
Mr. Smith and Mr. Haycock, just to reconfirm, you two are going to present public comment, not testimony at this point in time.
Just comments.
Okay.
Comments.
Great, thank you. Mr. Strong, do you wish to present any rebuttal witnesses' evidence?
Not at this time. We would reserve the opportunity to do that at the August meeting. So I'm not anticipating that we will be, but I want to reserve that opportunity. My client was unable to attend tonight. He's at another township meeting tonight. So given that we've been going for 15, I think, hearing nights, we certainly want to have an opportunity to do that if necessary.
Okay. Does the board have any issue with that?
No.
Seeing none, that is fine. That being said, we are now going to skip ahead to public comment. As I stated at the beginning of this meeting, we are going to accept public comment tonight and accept public comment at the August meeting. If you wish to present public comment, if you could please stand up, walk forward. We're going to put the microphone on the podium. We need your name and address. We're going to ask you to be sworn in, and then you can provide any comments you wish. In regards to this application, for or against, or just whatever. That being said, does anyone wish to provide public comment at this time? Great, come on forward. just one warning, since you are sworn and you are providing evidence, I do have to provide opportunity to all the parties to ask you questions if necessary, if they wish.
As a public comment?
Yes. Slightly different than public comment at a regular meeting.
Okay.
Okay, just want to warn you.
Okay. What information did you need from me first? You said
my name? Your name and address, please.
Terry Miller. I live at 228 Clark Road, Hershey, Pennsylvania.
And could you spell your first name, please?
T-E-R-R-I.
You live at Clark, C-L-A-R-K?
Correct. 228 Clark Road.
Can you raise your right hand? Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and nothing but?
Yes. My name is Terry Miller. I live on Clark Road here in Derry Township, and both my husband Doug Miller and I have been active and invested members of this community for 20 years. In partnership with my husband, I am co-owner and full-time director of Seedlings Academy for Young Learners, an educational child care center serving families that live and work in the greater Hershey area. My first responsibility is to ensure the safety of the 90-plus children in our care. I thank you for giving me the opportunity to provide public comment on the proposed development project in the neighborhood of my business. At the last hearing, and from minutes of past hearings, there seems to be a significant emphasis on the traffic impact study. It is a fact that the data from this study did not include the traffic impact of Hershey West, nor the new Hershey Chocolate Factory. However, it is clear that a significant amount of weight is being given to a traffic impact study that does not include these two significant elements. I am not an engineer. However, I do not think it takes an engineer to decipher that the traffic impact study for this proposed development is at the very least incomplete and unreliable. To be clear, I am asking that this Board of Supervisors require a new traffic study to be done with the impact of Hershey West and the new chocolate factory's traffic reports to be included in the diagnostics. Allow me to take a moment to challenge the traffic impact study a bit further. Data and comprehensive plans notwithstanding, this plan, in my opinion, is flawed in a number of different ways. First, the TIS states that there is plenty of queue lengths for cars on Governor Road. Yet, if someone was to take a simple drone picture or video of Governor Road heading east, from University Drive to Cherry Drive during peak afternoon hours, there is no doubt in my mind that we would see a very different outcome now from the data presented and a five-year projections made. Further, I believe the same thing would be true for Fishburne Road south of the Governor Road intersection in the mornings. Second, I am not sure who decided it would be a good idea to allow a major fueling station at this location, but it clearly does not fit within this neighborhood, overlay or no overlay. Third, the alley that runs parallel to and east of Fishburne Road and runs directly behind our business has proven to be sufficient for the current, normal, everyday traffic flow. However, as soon as there is any issue on Fishburne Road, whether it be a sinkhole, a downed telephone pole, a water or sewer line replacement, or an accident, all things that have happened in the past year alone, this alley becomes a major throughway, posing multiple safety concerns. Fourth, Fourth, I find it interesting that an alley barely acknowledged and never cared for by the township, an alley that is basically one lane wide, is now all of a sudden a major part of a traffic solution with a plan to place a signalized intersection at its northernmost outlet, thereby creating significant access and safety issues for our children, families, and staff. This is something my husband thoroughly addressed at the last meeting. What he was too humble to say is that when there were aforementioned traffic issues on Fishburne Road, he was on campus managing the increased volume of cars driving at high rates of speed in the alley and guarding the safety of our children on our site from drivers violating our property signs to avoid the roadblocks. Fifth, making any improvements to the alley in support of increased traffic will require additional right-of-ways and infringe on the parking availability to staff and parents, not to mention the statements they made just moments ago about the people that live and whose property butts up against the alley. Moving on from the TIS and its obvious shortcomings, I would like to challenge the Board of Supervisors to give equal weight to the anecdotal testimonies from those businesses directly impacted by your decision. From the way these business owners were questioned by Mr. Strong, it was clear that from his perspective, anecdotal testimony should not be considered. That data from engineers should be the only consideration, even when the data is incomplete. As business owners, we are here every day. We see how traffic flows every day. We see how traffic is affected when this normal traffic flow is diverted for one reason or another. We are here to see the backlog of traffic, to see the misuse of our properties, to see the volume increase exponentially in the alley, and how all of this affects our customers, including our most vulnerable. The developer is not here in our community. His lawyer is not here in our community. We are, day in and day out. Our perspective should hold at least as much weight as the TIS. And before I leave this point, Mr. Miller was modest about the time he spends at Seedlings. While his office is in our home just 2 miles away from our business, he is at Seedlings multiple times a day, at various times a day. And because of this, he is qualified to give anecdotal testimony on the impact of traffic flow to our business. And I might add, so is Ron Bloomberg. As business owners, we ask this Board of Supervisors to value our testimony in the same way that we have valued our community and provided needed services to meet our community's needs. Finally, I would like to challenge Mr. Strong's questioning in 2 areas. One, based on his questioning of Mr. Miller at the last hearing, it seems that Mr. Strong would like us to believe that the additional right-of-way in the front of our buildings will not necessarily bring Fishburne Road any closer to our buildings, that an extra turning lane or two will not bring traffic closer to our buildings. Well, it seems obvious that an extra lane or two is going to have to go somewhere. I wonder if he thinks that we are really that obtuse to not see what is coming. Additionally, when Mr. Strong asked both Mr. Miller and Mr. Bloomberg if they were aware of a study that was done, I believe it was in 2017, I'm not sure, where the approval of a Sheetz was being built across the street, it seemed that his point was to persuade you that our awareness of that proposal negates our right to contend this proposal now. With respect, there is a big difference between the approval or awareness of the former and the proposed development plan as it stands now. It's an irrelevant line of questioning and should not be given any weight whatsoever. In conclusion, increased traffic and the proposed development will affect the safety of our children. Traffic flow will affect the safety of our children and adversely affect their parents. And there can be no doubt, the quality of services that Seedlings offers to our families that live and work in this community will be affected in ways no data can reflect. Thank you.
Stay right there.
I am.
Okay. Mr. Trump, any questions for him?
Can't wait my mic.
Yeah.
I do not have any questions.
Thank you. Mr. Christ?
No question.
Mr. Getz?
No question.
Mr. Greenberg?
No question.
Mr. Winter?
No question.
Mr. Miller? Ms. Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Does the board have any questions?
No.
Thank you very much, ma'am. Does anyone else wish to present? Fine. We'll have him go. Is that all right, sir?
Okay, Gordon.
Yeah. Come on up, sir.
Thank you. My name is Philip Juris. I live at 58 Ropes Avenue here in Hershey.
Can you spell your last name?
J-U-R-U-S. And my first name has one L.
Raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth to help God?
I do. My comments are based on my observations and my conversations with other people in the public. The end is near. The end is near. That's a headline that was in The Sun, Thursday, June 29th. And when I read the byline, Governor Crossing Sheets Project, my immediate reaction was, wow, that's an apocalyptic statement. The end is near. So appropriate. If this project goes through, the resulting nightmare, and it is a word that a lot of people once I've spoken with, have used, and it's used in testimony here. The resulting nightmare, if this project goes through, will have serious and profound effects on the residents of the surrounding neighborhoods, the property owners, the businesses, their clients, and the drivers who travel on any of the streets, Governor Road, Hoppersville Road, Maple Avenue, Fishburne Road, Sand Hill, Hillcrest, Cherry, and Elm Avenue, probably one of the most significant residential thoroughfares in all of Hershey, and then all of the roads that lead into that. Let's face it. Sheets is interested in this property because it fits their criteria for new fuel dispensing facilities. I quote from the statement about plans to find 30 new locations in another part of Pennsylvania. Their plans. On behalf of their client was a named real estate and investment firm. Through its connection with a named real estate development company, is seeking high traffic and high visibility sites. End quote. In Derry Township,
Governor Crossing property is the only site that is a match in the Hershey area. Property on the perimeter of Hershey East, West, North, and South that might meet those criteria is already owned either by HERCO, the Hershey Trust, or the Penn State Mountain Hershey Medical Center. If this project goes through, Sheets will have its brand name on one more location on its map. Sheets did prime the pump, by the way. I know it was mentioned last week in one of the comments. They primed the pump for business with them by offering that July 4th half-price sale on gas, no pun intended. It was a sales gimmick, by the way. And I mean, when the pastor at the church at which I worship began her sermon on Sunday, July 9th, with a picture on the screen of a long line of cars, where? At a Sheet station. You better believe it made an impression. Wasn't that sweet? For Lynn Lowe, the development investment that was made will finally be paying off, and it's the payoff that counts. The assertion in the article in the Sun by the developer was that this will, quote, bring economic development to the township, end quote. A statement, really, that is nothing more than a sugar-coated cliche like, have a nice day. Or sometimes, maybe, it's a bit of the requirements. If the hearing I attended last week was anything like the other hearings, it sounded like the corporate attorney representing the developer thought he held all the cards, as he questioned the business owners who will be impacted. It sounded like an interrogator, in parts, to me, examining a witness on the stand, asking one of them if he had had expertise as a traffic engineer. To which, fortunately, the owner replied that he was an expert in the lives of people, in the lives of his people who were his customers, implying that they were much more important than the charts and the statistics of the so-called traffic engineers that the developing attorney allowed. And he suggested to another business owner that he was making assumptions in the information he had spent a considerable amount of time putting together, compiling his own survey of the parents of his children who are enrolled in the learning center. Assumptions. Let me address assumptions. The biggest assumption that has been made is that this project was just going to fly through a hearing and pass under the radar of most people who would be kept in the dark about it. A little history lesson. 5 years ago, a colleague and I in the 2nd Precinct of Derry Township got word of a hearing by way of a letter that went to one of the property owners about the project. The two of us went door to door with flyers that we had printed at our own expense to alert people in that neighborhood, Governor Road, Fishburne Road, and Hawkersville Road, that this hearing was about to take place. And as I recall, none of the people had heard about this save the one person who had received the letter. Although my colleague's house was the third house in from Fishburne Road, she did not get a letter, because what I learned was that the regulation for sending out these announcements at that point only went a certain distance, and she wasn't in that distance. And then I thought to myself, well, who is at the distance on the other side of the road? Well, we have the Masonic Lodge. Did they get a letter? Sunoco Station, did they get a letter? And the tract of property that was a part of the project, did they get a letter? I initiated a meeting with Mr. Craig, who owned the property at that time, to talk to him about the effect that this would have on the neighborhood. And since that time, I've kept my fingers on the pulse of this. On March 10, 2020, I inquired by email to Mr. Emmerich about a county grant of several thousand dollars to Mr. Craig for redirecting Sand Hill Road and asked about the status of the project. It was my understanding at that time that if the project was not done within a certain amount of time, it would have to go back to one of the township committees. His reply was that the project was moving on and might require another hearing due to plan modifications, and that they, whoever they was, had extended the approval time of the last one. This past September 2021, when the hearing was going to be held, once again, I had a flyer made up and I went door to door in the immediate neighborhood to alert neighbors, residents, and businesses, and talk to the people who were unanimous that they didn't want sheets in their neighborhood. In October, I spoke at a Board of Supervisors meeting and showed them this picture. That the property apparently had already gotten funding, even though it had not been approved. Based on an assumption that this was a done deal. But the corporations who are developing this project that have made the biggest assumption is advertising that a project is funded before it has even been approved fit all the requirements. Interesting that that sign was removed about 10 days after that meeting. So who would be blamed for this nightmare, this very bad idea? Not the corporate offices of Sheets or the LLC corporation of the developer, the five people sitting up here who give their time and their energy to represent the interests of this community. The fingers will be pointed at them. And all of us will have to put up with this apocalyptic nightmare of having the character of the neighborhood transformed by moneyed interests who always seem to get their hands on more money to push projects like this. It's the wisdom of the apocalyptic prophecy. That headline that demands your attention. The end is near. Thank you, Board of Supervisors, the associated people from the staff, Dairy Township for coming to these meetings and all of the great property owners who have put forth their concerns under what could be intimidating circumstances.
Mr. Jurist, you need to stay there for 1 second. Mr. Strong, any questions?
No questions.
Mr. Christ?
No questions.
Mr. Getz?
No questions.
Mr. Greenberg?
No questions.
Mr. Miller?
No questions.
Ms. Means?
No questions.
Ms. Newman?
No questions.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Mr. Hitchcock?
No questions.
Does the board have any questions?
No.
Thank you, sir. You may be excused.
Matt Hitchcock, 110 Peach Avenue.
110.
Peach Avenue. Yes.
Can you just speak slow and speak loud?
I don't know why I'm speaking so loud. Okay. Hi, everybody. Matt, I've been to almost all of the meetings except for the one I had to travel.
If you can just try speaking into the microphone.
Sure.
Thanks.
So I've been to all the meetings except for one, I believe. So where we had 15 meetings, so it's 45 hours. This is, to me, it seems quite intense. I don't know if this is normal for a hearing like this. I was going to say blank once for no, blank twice for yes.
It can't hear it.
Sorry. Somebody blinked twice, so the answer is yes. This is not a normal hearing, I would say, by any means. And when I first started coming here, it was me being nosy, because I live on Peach Avenue here, so there's Sand Hill. And I live up Peach Avenue. I live up Peach Avenue, about halfway up the road. If you don't know Peach Avenue, it's a little slice of heaven, like home. There's a lot of young children that live on the road, including my two daughters, which now are 10 and 11, when we first moved there in 2018. You couldn't keep the kids out of the road. I've never seen anything like it. There's almost no traffic on the road. So early on, I didn't want to let them go out on the road by themselves. But it is absolutely wonderful to be able to just tell your kids, go and explore. Go be kids, right? So when I first started coming to the meetings, I didn't know much more than I think a lot of people, as in the details of the plans and stuff like that. And when I first started coming, I was like, oh, this doesn't impact me. But it really does. And a few years back, there were some power lines that were along Sand Hill here. They were taken down, and I believe they were buried. And they were buried in the ground. So there's a lot of construction on Sand Hill, specifically, let's say, north of Peach Avenue. And as we all know, traffic's crazy around here, right? So traffic would be backed up. But when they moved the closure Sand Hill past Peach Avenue, people would turn down from Cherry or even come down Sand Hill. They'd get to Peach and realize that the road is closed. So they would tear up Peach Avenue with reckless abandon. I mean, it was crazy. You know, cars going 50, 60 miles an hour while our children are out on the road. I know, and I hope, you know, if this does get approved, that we'd be able to do something to, I guess, stop traffic from going further on Peach, you know, no outlet, road closed, something along those lines. So this was my first, I would say, awareness of, oh crap, this can affect me. The other thing to keep in mind is, everybody who lives on Peach Avenue, they get on the bus at Peach and Sand Hill. So it's a lot of people under 18. My daughter went to middle school last year, so there's probably 10 kids waiting for the bus, probably another 10 in the morning. So that's at least 20 kids under the age of 18, of course, that are getting on the bus there. And when there's this type of traffic, it is construction, tear up to the roads. They've done it for gas lines and so on. But this is a big impact to this area. You know, the other thing is, and Chuck, I know I don't know you, but I feel like we're best friends. If you could pull up T4. I think you had it. If you could maybe zoom in, and you can't see the person that I'm pointing on the screen. Right where the Sand Hill starts to bend for the development there. So right here, there's going to be a stop sign, right? Is it a three-way stop sign? Peach Avenue is right here. It can't be but a couple hundred feet to that stop sign. And we know how traffic likes to back out in this whole general area. I just don't see how me trying to turn out of my road is not going to be impacted. So that's a concern. The other concern is kind of a blind curve here with people planning on going south on Sand Hill. You know, now kids are going to be waiting for the bus stop here, and there's going to be potentially more traffic coming through and having a blind turn right there where the bus stop would be. So there's a couple of areas of concern for that. I apologize. Everybody was so well polished when they came up here. I had stupid notes on my phone here. I apologize. So I think I don't have to say, but traffic in this area stinks. At first I thought, well, maybe moving Sand Hill would help. But with all the other impacts that it has to these businesses and residents, it's quite crazy. And I look at this, and I agree with some of the other people that have testified in front of me that, I'm for everybody making a buck, right? Everybody should have a chance to make a living for their family. That's including the applicant, including the residents, the business owners, and everything else like that. But to specifically impact these businesses and residents. So let's talk about the businesses. Obviously, that impacts them in a way. If they can't turn left in or out of their property, that's a huge problem, right? And then you also have residents here. I know my daughter comes off of Peach Avenue and she walks through neighbor's yard over to her friend's house. Right? So we have friends that our family plays with that live along Fishburne here that are going to be impacted by this. I mean, I would be quite upset if I bought a piece of property and then found out a few years later that, oh yeah, you can't turn left out or into your property. And how that would impact the resale. I'd be very upset. And I don't understand, to be honest with you, I think the gentleman just testified before me, I don't understand how more of these residents are not at these meetings. Every one of these residents should be here. I know some of them have been notified because they're impacted, right? They have a little sign put in their property and everything else. Some of these people, I don't think they know what is going on. They're just like, oh yeah, there's a sheets going there. But when we go to them and tell them, or you guys go to them and explain to them, oh yeah, hey, we're going to have to take some of your front yard, or half of your front yard. I think the line behind it would be out the door. I think it's it's a shame that they're not here, and I wish that they were. Not to count the businesses, and I'll say this, probably the person probably the guy getting screwed the most is probably Ron. The barbershop. You're not going to be able to turn into his property if you're coming south. The only way you can turn in is if you're going north. You can only take a right out, so I get my hair cut there. So it impacts me because at the end of the world, am I still going to move? Yes. That's not the issue, but it's the people that look up on their phones and say, barber nearby, and they go pull in there, and they're like, I don't even know how to get over there. How does that not impact his business in Seedlings and some of these property owners out there? Like I said, I'm all for everybody making a buck. I wish them the best, the applicant the best. I wish every one of these residents and business owners back here the best. But I think it comes down to whose dollar's worth more, right? And I think somebody pointed to this. I think, in my opinion, I work in design and development. That's what I do for a living. I do CAD. In school, I learned civil drafting, architectural drafting, mechanical drafting. These are just lines and a software that can be easily changed, deleted. I mean, in my opinion, and what I like to ask the board to do, I think being here for 15 weeks, if I was a project manager, or even somebody doing a type of development project like this, I think I'd be saying, hey guys, we need to start coming up with a plan B, because this is not going well after the 8th meeting. Nice meeting. And how can we think of a way to do this project but still not impact the number of businesses and properties that we're talking about. There's always a way to brainstorm and come up with general ideas. Maybe that's reconfiguration. Maybe it's a roundabout. I like that idea around it. Do I know how much that impacts this? I don't. Do I know how much property maybe you need to take off on the applicant side for some of this stuff? Yeah. But I think there's ways to get together within their development team. And even taking some of the observations and ideas that you've heard in this meeting, and look at it and say, all right, guys, we got to go back to the drawing board. Let's take the whiteboard. Let's start erasing everything. And how can we do a nice development without impacting, I don't know, 20 property owners? I don't know how many it is. It's a lot. Right? So that's really what I would like to do. I'd like to see a way that this can go back and maybe be refreshed in a way. So it doesn't impact all of these homeowners. And left in, that's huge. I'm like, that's a big deal. Let me go through that. I think I've hit everything. But I want you to understand, at first I didn't think that this was going to be what it is. And then after hearing this, it's quite shocking to find out what has been planned and how it might impact these residents. And I really wish to hear, maybe they'll be here for August. I don't know. If they get my shout out, we can get them here. But that's all I have. Thank you for hearing me out. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hitchcock. Any questions, Mr. Strong?
No questions.
Mr. Chris?
No question.
Mr. Getz?
No question.
Mr. Greenberg?
No question.
Mr. Winder?
No question.
Mr. Miller?
No question.
Ms. Means?
No question.
Ms. Newman?
No question.
Mr. Smith?
No questions.
Board?
No.
Thank you very much, Mr.
I don't have any questions.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. You'd break your string. So, that being said, we're a little late, but we're going to take a... Well, first, before we take a break, is there anyone else who wishes to make public comment at this point? Okay, excellent. So we're going to take a break. We'll be back about 10:08. And we'll start with Mr. Smith. You're up next.